this idea, this premise, we talk about the idea of plateauing and whatever, you know, whatever causes that plateauing. But I would like to just share with you, just in conclusion, in a minute, one idea, one beautiful idea that repeats itself to me all the time. I wear it like a pair of glasses. And I actually seen a one-liner from Simcha Zissel, the Alter from Kelm. It's one of my children is named after, Simcha Zissel, the Alter from Kelm. And he said like this, I just highlighted in my book, I thought it was a joke, but I realized he's one of the serious Bali Musar of all time. He was a student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And he said like this, he says, HaTorah mischaleches l'shlosh halachim. He says, the Torah is divided into three portions. He says, Pashtus, simplicity, Amkus, depth, Vipashtus, and simplicity. So anybody who watched Sesame Street knows, you know, which one of these is not like the other one, you know? Two of them are exactly the same. We have simplicity, and then we have depth, and then we come back to simplicity again. He says, so how can you have two of them that are exactly the same and say that there's three things? So we just benched Rosh Chodesh a couple of weeks ago, last week. And so in the benching of Rosh Chodesh, so what did we say? We say we in that short list of things that we ask for Yir Shamayim, that we should have Yir Shamayim. And then we said, She'ein behem bushu chlima, she'esh behem kovod, that has honor, but doesn't have embarrassment, etc., etc. And then we ask for Yir Shamayim again. You know, my wife sends me out shopping, she says, you know, orange juice and milk and potatoes and tuna fish and orange juice. You don't say orange juice twice, it's a short list over there. So why are we saying Yir Shamayim and then we're saying Yir Shamayim again? So it seems that the answer is that there's a Yir Shamayim that comes before Oshav HaKavod, before wealth and before success and before embarrassment, and there's a Yir Shamayim that comes afterwards. And the same thing over here. We're blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's a similar pattern that we find all throughout life. We start off with a pashtus, we start off with a straight sound, and then we have a broken sound, and then we come to back to a straight sound again. And that's the way the world seems to be working. And the first message, the first lesson that the beginning of the year we open up our ears to is this concept that you got to hear all three. You know, it's not enough just to hear the straight sound. That's not good enough. It's not enough just to hear the second sound, the broken up sounds, the shvarim trua. But you got to stay around to the last set, to the last straight sound. Or else you didn't fulfill your obligation. So it seems also what happens in life is there's that innocent period, that beautiful period that we all enter into, you know, that first Shabbos. You know, we remember it. Wow. Chas and Kala. You know, there's something beautiful. The kid comes to school to lick the honey, you know, and he comes home, Rebbe, and he's got his first tzitzis, and you have your first baby, and it's the bris, and it's, you know, it's all beautiful. The bar mitzvah, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. And who can forget those moments? And we put pictures of those things on the wall. And they remain on the walls of our minds. And then what happens is, a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later, a couple of years later, and, you know, you run into a chasen kala. I have a custom not to say, you know, a few months later even. Hey, Mazel Tov, how you guys doing? You know, shh, Rabbi, can I talk you on the side? You know, what happened? What happened? Oh my gosh. Because now we're into the amkus already. We're into the depth. It's not so simple. Fellow becomes a Baal Tshuva, guy calls me up, what happened? He says, you know, somebody kicked me out of his seat in shul, this happened, that happened, you know, I wasn't welcome over here, people are correcting me over there, whatever it is, people run into amkus. I don't understand this, now I have questions, before it was alluring, it was beautiful, and now I start to see that there's complexity over here. What about those complexities? And it looked in the beginning like we're on some kind of a, like, you know, if we keep climbing like this, we're gonna reach the stars already. And all of a sudden we hit a, you know, whatever it is, it's a plateau. And it's either one of two things that are happening over there. If we hit this area where things start to shake. And I said to a chasen kala that had just gotten engaged, and I tell every chasen kala when I meet them, first of all, mazel tov, I give two pieces of advice. One piece of advice is, don't take advice from bachur, you know, to the chasen, you know, from the guys back in the dorm. Don't listen, you know, they have no experience. What are they doing sitting in the dorm? You know, they're not your source of advice. And the other piece of advice is to remind you, no, everything's great, everything's wonderful, just to remind you that during the engagement period, you know, it's a difficult period. Engagement is difficult because it's not climbing, it's building, and you got a lot of little details to take. Now it's money, and now it's, you know, hard facts of life, and who's going to pay for what, and who's going to sit where, and what's with her family, and what's with his family, and who wants to, you know, all the pressure now starts to bear. And since there's no building, so it comes to a point where you're taking care of details. So what happens is, a person can get cynical, can break the shidduch at that time. They tell me, you should know that it's difficult. If you know that it's difficult, then it's not going to be so difficult. But if you think that everything should be going smooth like it was during the dating process, then this can be too much of a shock. It might rock the whole system, and you might drop out. So when a person gets that middle place over there, after we left the pashtus, after we left the simplicity, where everything is beautiful and everything is glowing, the honeymoon is over, so what do we do in the second stage over there? The person's there, and suddenly waves of opposition. What happens? I get the first call from the principal. Oh no. You know, the first call from my kid, I send him off to Cheder with a big smile. That first day of the year, you send them off with all those beautiful pencils, number two sharpened pencils. It doesn't take 2 weeks before the peanut butter is all inside with the crumbs of all the lunches and the notes that they should have handed you. It's all mixed up together in the same bag. What happened? What happened to that nice suit? What happened to the promise of a beautiful year? What happened to it? They said, went to the Amkus. So there's two choices. The person can remain bitter and angry and upset and nasty and brutish and cash out. Or the person can go back to Never Never World, move to Florida, California, okay? Grow a ponytail, you know, live on a skateboard or something like that, go to Never Never World, you know, and try to emulate Peter Pan and read fanciful novels and go to movies and try to make enough noise to block out your conscience to forget what you ever knew that it might be true. Or the third option is to keep moving forward. And to remember that there's a pashtus that comes after the humpus. Right? That there's something that we're striving for that we gotta stay around to the end. Otherwise, we have a reference point of where it is that we came from. The Mishnah says, Histakel b'shlosha devarim, look at three things, ve'en ata bo lidei chet. Look at three things, you won't come to sin. Ma'ayin basa, from where you're coming from. Ula'an ata holech, and where you're going to. In front of whom you're going to give a din b'cheshbon. So it's not enough just to know where it is that we come from. We got to know where it is that we're going to. What's the next goal? We got to come back to the pashtus that comes after the yamkas. So I'd like to challenge the premise that we're Ba'alei Tshuva. There's no Ba'alei Tshuva. I think we're still apprenticing at this point over here. It could be that the work that we're working on is detailed work. You see the house going up. There's a shul in the neighborhood. They built a shul. Do you see what happened? In one day, the whole thing is up. Same thing happens in our life too. He says, this guy became Shomer Shabbos, he's wearing tzitzis and the trillin and everything's going great. The guy says, he's checked into yeshiva, victory, and tebe, you know, the guy's doing great. And then he comes into the Amkus. He's watching the shul go up and say, they stopped building the shul. Not building the shul, now they're doing detail work on the inside. Now they're working on the Aron Kodesh, and now they're working on painting the trimming, and all these things that you didn't see what's going on. Now we're working with children. Now we're working with this. Now we're working on our own little, on private little Musar Sadarim and these type of things. So it's not such dramatic changes that anybody's going to notice, but either the changing didn't change, or if we feel that we're plateauing, we forgot what the goal is, that we got another goal ahead of us. Tshuva, I once heard from the Rachman Stripka Rebbe, it's an acronym, Tomim Ti Im Hashem Lakecha. That means don't worry about the future. Did we perfect our Bitachon yet? We have things to work on. Shvisi Hashem renegdi samid shin. Do we have Hashem? Are we davik in a Kodesh Baruch Hu yet? Did we complete that process of the tshuva? You know, or did we just come to be Shomer Shabbos? Now we're part of a chevra. We're part of a shul. That simply doesn't mean that you have to grow a bigger hat, to grow a longer beard. But inside, it all has to do with panimiyistika stuff. V'haftal recha kamocha. Did I perfect my do I have things to work on yet that have to do with bein adam l'chaveru and getting along with people and getting along with myself? Are my intentions good? Are my thoughts good? That everything I'm doing is somehow connected with a mitzvah and somehow connected with where I'm coming and from where I'm going to, connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the hey. Tshuva. Do I have a deep private account and relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? So there's a world of things that everybody still has to work on. So we can start the tshuva process. I would like to say we start the tshuva process again right now. We got to remind ourselves where it is that we came from. Where it is that we're going to. We have to have goals, new goals for ourselves. It's very, very important. If our goal was just to become from, then it could be that the mission is in risk of being aborted. Because all those waves of opposition are a test of what did we come here for? Why did we come here? Why did we start this process? And the kids want to know, why did you bring me into the world? Why did you start this? So I have to understand that I'm here and I came because of a certain reason. I have to know why it is that I came. And where it is that I'm going and where I'm going to take you, where I'm going to take myself. What am I working on now? I have to start to write, open up my book, and start to write my story, and start to write my life, and start to write my goals. A notebook that says, what's my next 10 goals, my next 15 goals? Personal goals. Not talking about money. Talking about what am I going to work on within myself and how do I begin to get this thing started next? And maybe we come to this idea, you know, we need a rav. We need somebody to help us get to these things. Konei l'chachavei, let your pen be your friend. Konei is a pen. You know, even if you can't find a friend, you can't find a rav. Konei l'chachavei, let your pen be your friend. And sit and write. And learn with a highlighter. The PHS and the rav says, he says, it's not enough. You say, I have a yomi this and I have a yomi that. I have all the yomis. I'm doing Daf Yomi. I'm doing not Mishabura Yomi, but I'm doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Yomi, I have a few Yomis that we're working on, Baruch Hashem. But there's another type of learning. Piyus Etzer Rav says that a person is reading and they're writing and they're looking for prophecy, looking for something that's going to talk to them. He says there's a type of prophetic revelation that comes when one looks into a holy book. Not a knowledge of the future. He says, for that ceased when the temple was destroyed. Rather, is it a guidance and a call to the service of Hashem and the holiness of Israel? At times, he says, we've all experienced looking into a holy book and suddenly becoming extremely moved by a certain idea. A word pierces our heart and gives us no rest for years until it can transform us into a different person and sanctify us and uplift us. He's looking through. He says, let me look through Tehillim, not just to Zug Tehillim, and not to accomplish Tehillim, but also to take a look with my highlighter and see if I find something that talks to me. Something, because then the Torah is talking to me. I want the Torah to talk to me. I want a Kodesh Baruch Hu to talk to me. I want to have that level of intimacy with what it is that I'm learning. And for that, I might have to slow down sometimes. And for that, you know, and once I get a couple of those little highlights over there, then I write them into a book someplace, and that becomes part of my notebook. And I want to repeat that phrase. I want to talk to a Kodesh Baruch Hu all day long. I want to find a different way to connect to the words of the Torah and to integrate them into my life. And that's what the Piazzetta is saying. He says, what's going on? He says, we've already heard this idea from others and seen it in books, yet we remain untouched, yet now the matter suddenly penetrates our hearts and mind. He says, this is a form of looking into the Urim V'Tumim. He says, there too the letters were written, yet only some would shine in the eyes of the Kohen, and a Kohen only with divine inspiration could interpret them. Another Kohen would stand by and not see a thing. Some person listening in Shul doesn't have the same experience, but these words suddenly jump up in me. This Rashi, these words. The Sfasemis in last week's Parsha talks about this concept, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. That was the exodus for Klai Yisrael from Mitzrayim. It started with Vayakam El Chodesh, a new king arose on us. We gave over our Koyach of Chiddush, our possibility of Hischachus was given over to the Mitzrayim. And therefore, Vayakam El Chodesh, the culture overtook us. And Klai Yisrael starts to climb out. When it says Vayakam El Chodesh, see, there's the highlight over there. Couldn't stop highlighting over here. He says, "Achodesh Hazeh Lechem." He says, "Inyan Zeh." He says, "Geulas Mitzrayim." This is Geulas Mitzrayim. Ki begolas nechsar zeh hischachus. Because in Golas is lacking this hischachus. Hischachus. We got to be new, not Baal Tshuva. When did you become Baal Tshuva? 22 years. I became Baal Tshuva today. I can be Baal Tshuva right now. That's when you become a Baal Tshuva. When did you get married? I got married 20 years ago. I opened my mouth under the chuppah. No. You got to get married today. The same thing. I have to renew my commitment. He says, the same way Kodesh Baruch Hu renews his commitment, we'll finish up in the Yakam El Chadash, Ayin Sham. He says, a new king arose. He says, B'shasa Gulis is Dainu Shi Yisbar, Shehakol Chiyus Hashem Yisbaruch. The Gulis Mitzrayim, Kai Yisrael became aware that everything is Chiyus, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everything is a Penim Yisdik Chiyus. Everything has to do with, it's coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Umizeh Bo Hischachus. He says, and this comes to Hischachus. Chiyus Yisbaruch, Yesh Bo Hischachus Tamid. He says, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is constantly flowing into the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu is constantly renewing the world. So we understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu is delivering a fresh world. He says, Ein kol chadash tachas haShemesh, Shlomo, the wisest of all men, told us, there's nothing new under the sun. Ela lamala min haShemesh, so there's no news. Everything is a recycling of the news. It's the same old, hanging in there, Bobby. We're all hanging in there. But where does the Baruch Hashem come? He says, the Baruch Hashem comes because we understand HaMechadosh B'tuvah B'chol Yom Ma'aseh Bereishis Kodesh Baruch Hu with His goodliness, He looks into the world, He's creating it. If we can connect with that, we can understand that, then Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, you're right, but Lamala Min HaShemesh Yesh Chadash. Kodesh Baruch Hu is influencing, He's wishing and He's willing and He's establishing and maintaining and flooding the world with goodliness. Tov Ma'od. And we experience and we feel that Tomo, we feel the goodness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then we start to wake up and we feel the Akarsa Tov. How can we repay a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Ma'ashiv Hashem kol tag malohi alai. So I think from this process of maybe understanding our own stories, coming up with new fresh goals, new fresh picture of where it is that we want to take ourselves and where we want to take our families, and all of a sudden we start to feel that there's a new possibility. There's a new possibility. The world is filled with possibility. The Maral says, and the six things a person is asked after 120 years, I think number four is Tzipisa Yeshua. Did you anticipate the redemption? So Maral has his ways, his categories of trying to understand what's going on here. Tzipisa Yeshua. What's going on? He says over here, it's a test of whether the person is Koyach or Poil. Koyach or Poil. Koyach is not just power, it means potential. Poil means kinetic, means action. So I was sitting with the Chavrusa, what does this mean that a person's koyach or pol? What does that have to do with Tzipisa Yeshua and dissipating the redemption? So we'll just so the basic idea is that koyach means that something it's not yet fulfilled. It's like a seed that's sitting there, an acorn. Okay, it sits there after a while, it looks petrified like a rock. It's nothing. So if a person has this unused potential, it sits there and they say, okay, you know, after a while you become cynical about it. It's like in that middle zone over there, in the in-between zone where it's not this poshness and it's not that poshness. So a person sits there and they become cynical. They said, it's not going to change. Nothing ever changed. Nothing ever will change. Nothing couldn't become of it. It's just a false hope. And we become sunken and implode with cynicism and despair. When a person now begins to change, you put it to the ground, you see some little sprout in that seed, in that acorn. You start to see suddenly little roots come out. A person makes some little improvement, some new change, takes on a new project, and you start to do something. I remember I started to run a couple of years ago. Some doctor encouraged me to run. It was very difficult. I hadn't exercised for 20 years. I used to be an athlete. He's walking me around the block, and with all the heavy breathing that's going on, you know? And he told me, he says, label this, what got me started, he says, I run 7 miles a day, I can eat whatever I want. I said, okay. I went out and bought a pair of sneakers, you know? So I started going around, I started jogging around the block, you know, walking around the block. He's holding my hand, and he says, well, Blake, he says, this should be easy for you. You used to be an athlete. He says, and muscles have memories. I told him, I think mine have Alzheimer's, you know? I says, this is not working with me, you know? 5 years later, you know? I go out there, I run my 2-3 miles, I try to find a way to fit it in, and boy, does it make a big difference to me. Did it get any easier? It's not any easier. It hurts like hell every time. I don't love doing it, but I love having done it. When we make those little changes, those little ouch things that we have to do that force us to do things to improve in some midah, to choose a few midahs that we're going to work on and we're going to put together, husband and wife and the family, whatever it is, and we see those changes, when a person sees one little facet of the diamond improving, so suddenly you start to see poil. It doesn't have to be the whole thing. We don't have to improve the whole thing. You suddenly start to see improvement. Suddenly the world starts to look like a place that has the possibility of improvement. And therefore, the person becomes someone who looks at the world, see Pishil Yeshua. The world is a place where this person is not yet Shomer Shabbos. This world is not yet improved, but it has the possibility of getting there. So to avoid the plateauing syndrome, whatever it is, we should understand that we're not plateauing, that we're working inwardly, and we got a lot of work to do, and we see those improvements, so it keeps us hopeful that Bez Hashem will come back to the Pashtus, to the simplicity that comes after the Achdus, and we look back for the Tekiah Gadola, the great shofar, not the that people think is going into the pit, but the Yitaka B'Shofar Gadol. We hear the sound of Mashiach and Eliyahu and Navi coming to whisper into everybody's ear, and Kibbutz Golias, and all those good things, Bez Hashem. Thank you very much for listening. Appreciate the time we have together.
Thank you. Please take the Zard and please hang out for a little bit and talk to Rabbi Lamb or whatever.
It didn't work
at all.